Welcome to the Cajon Valley Podcast, a chance to meet the people and learn about the initiatives happening in the Cajon Valley community. Today we have Berlin Dixon, a sixth grader at Los Coches Creek Middle School, a school led by Principal Johanna Simcoe, and Berlin's sister, Bristol Dixon, a fourth grader at W.D. Hall Elementary, led by Principal Steve Lee Johnson. In addition to the great work they do as students in our schools, they have also started an amazing news channel on YouTube called East County Kids News. With that, I say it's great to have you with us. We're so excited for this conversation. Welcome, ladies, to the Cajon Valley Podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It is so great to have you with us. It's been amazing to watch the work that you're doing with East County Kids News, and I can't wait to dive into that. But this week was a pretty big week, and of course, it would make sense to set the stage that we're just coming off our spring break. We've just come back to schools for the first week, and you have just gotten started with distance learning because of this COVID experience that we're all having to deal with. So we're really interested in hearing from you about this experience. Number one, tell us how you're doing. You've been very busy over break,
yes.
But how has it felt to get back to school this week? School, as we call the new normal. Tell us about your week at school.
It's felt great to communicate with our teachers and our friends. And on Monday morning, we went into advisory and he went over the playlist, and it was a pretty great playlist. And it was fun to have new websites and learn about those. And so it was really cool.
How about for you, Bristol?
It was nice. It was really nice that we could contact our teachers and see our friends on Zoom.
And I know that your teachers have been working so hard just in this first week, right? Tell us. And I think a lot of the adults are wondering, and students for that matter, who might step into our podcast, can you explain some of the ways that learning has changed for you just in this one week? And maybe you've been preparing for it during spring break, but how has learning changed for you? Can you describe that for the listeners?
It has changed because there is new apps, and so there is some difficulties, but overall it's exciting and it's fun to learn something new and discover new things.
Thanks, Berlin. How would you describe this new form of learning that you've experienced, Bristol?
It's nice and fun because the new apps, it's challenging, but also it's fun because you get to learn something new and sometimes you don't get to learn them.
So I think for our listeners, they're hearing about these apps, and I think that might be something new for listeners. What is it they're talking about? What are these apps? Can you describe the access that you've had to technology during your years with us in the school district? Can you talk about the tools that you get to use? And in particular, I'm thinking about your Chromebooks. I think it'd be great for listeners to learn a little bit about that.
We have iReady, Khan Academy. We get to use ST Math, Achieve 3000, and many more. And it's been really nice to have an option. And so we're not always on the same one. Throughout the week, they had different activities on different things. So we were learning in different forms. So we had English on Newzilla and also on iReady. So they're both different learning formats. And so it was really cool to have it different. And they weren't the same.
Yeah, and how do you feel about that, Bristol? Are you enjoying having those options? And was there one option that you had this week that you made a choice around that you were like, oh, I'm so glad I chose that? What was that experience?
It was nice because, like, we normally don't get to use these because it's our first time. But now we can actually learn new things, and we don't always learn to learn.
That makes sense. That absolutely makes sense, right? Learning should be fun, right? So it's not about just preparing for a test. It's really about learning to learn and to solve problems. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about this, the access that you've had to computers, because you've been using a Chromebook now. For how many years have you had your own Chromebook in the district?
I've had my own Chromebook since I was in kindergarten, and then I started taking them home in third grade. And it's great that our district has that, because many districts don't have it assigned, an assigned computer to students. And I think it's a great thing that they have. And we also have more technology because we have our own computers, so we are able to access more things.
Yeah, and how do you think that maybe has been an advantage for you as a learner to have the have a Chromebook at your access? And more importantly, like, what does it mean that you get to take it home? How does that change things? I think a lot of kids have access to technology at school, but their technology stays at school. So what's the difference about being able to take it home?
We have a huge advantage because, oh, like, for example, my homework is all on my computer. And so I don't have a stack of papers. And I can, if I have problems, I can easily search up on the websites we do have and look for a lesson that will help me when I'm doing that assignment. So I don't have to wait until the next day to contact my teacher.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You can kind of get on that project right away. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. And so things don't get delayed, right? It just happens right at once. Mm-hmm. Is there any advice? You know, there's a lot of technology companies that are trying to get into the education space or that are already in the education space. Is there any advice that you would give to the ed tech companies that are designing apps for students? What kind of feedback would you give them perhaps about the types of software apps that they're creating? Is there any advice that you have for them?
The only hard thing that we've had is that there's four of us and we're all trying to get on Zoom at the same time. So sometimes it does kick us off and it glitches. So we can't really understand what's happening. And then the teacher ends up redoing that part. But that's been the only hard thing that we've had.
About the same for you, Bristol. Are you like tired of getting kicked off of Zoom at this point? You're like, gosh, you guys, give me a break here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes
if
sense.
If someone's on Zoom, you're not allowed to use the internet unless you have a Zoom meeting.
Okay. So that's interesting. So how many are there in your household then? And how many Zoom meetings do you think you're having in one day? Have you counted?
Four. There's four people on Zoom at the same time, but we've had a lot of Zoom meetings because we've had school Zoom meetings, but then Bruce also has working out, and then my brother's a CHP Explorer, and then I also have dance, so does Bristol, and so we have a lot, and then it just piles up, so the internet, it sometimes glitches.
Yes, that is frustrating, isn't it?
Yes.
I guess that could happen now too. I hope it doesn't. Goodness gracious, I hadn't thought about that. So two more questions about distance learning, and then we'll move forward to focus on your newest project. But what has been the biggest surprise perhaps over this past week about distance learning? Like, what has surprised you most about learning in this way?
I think the biggest surprise is we're still learning so much, and I hope that we can continue being able to stay on top of our education. And so far, it's been really great because I thought that we weren't going to have as much access, but our teachers have office hours so much that if we have a problem, we can easily contact them and they'll help us.
That's a great response. Thank you, Berlin. Bristol, how about for yourself? What has been the biggest surprise, perhaps, of this past week in distance learning?
Well, in distance learning, we have a short amount of time. Like, normally we have 6 hours of school, but now we only have three.
And are you still able to get all your work done in 3 hours? Is that what you're... I'm getting some major head nodding here on our Zoom. Yeah, so, and I'm just guessing, if you can get all your work done in that amount of time, does that mean that that frees up time to do other things like what we're going to talk about next? Yeah. Yeah,
it does free up time. And we mainly use that to do the broadcast. And we have more time to make sure that it looks good and make it right.
So I think that's been, I really like how you framed the conversation and how you shared about this week. I give you huge kudos to working through it because I know it's not easy. I want to make sure that we get some props in at this time for your teachers, because without your teachers, this week, past week wouldn't have been possible. So can you give a couple shout outs to your teachers and just let them know how much you appreciate it? Who are they? At both of your schools, just give them some shout outs. Maybe it's your principals. Give them some shout outs.
I would like to say thank you to Mr. Silva and Mrs. Washer because they've been a huge help. And I actually, because I'm in ASB, there's only 3 sixth graders. So I go to Miss Washer's on Monday and she helps go over the playlist because she is a sixth grade teacher. And then the rest of the week I go to ASB homeroom. And so they've been a huge help. And whenever I have questions, I'll email them and they'll email me back within 5 minutes.
Thank you, teachers. Thank you to those educators. Thank you for sharing those shout outs. Bristol, how about for yourself?
I would like to say thank you to Mrs. Albright because she always goes over and beyond because she wants to make learning so much fun, and it is.
Well, and I can, I can see that not only for yourselves, but also for your fellow classmates, because I watched many of your East County Kids News segments. And over and again, when students were asked about what do you miss most, the first thing they said was their teachers, and yes, Second, their friends. So amazing. And I do hope that all the teachers will go and watch your and subscribe to your channels. So let's jump into it right now, because I know that's really the only reason you want to talk to me today, is because you want to tell the world about East County Kids News. I saw several of your episodes that had more than 400 views, and you were on Channel 10 News, if I'm not mistaken, a couple weeks ago.
Crazy.
So, okay, so whose idea was this? Where did this come from?
Okay, so we both did broadcast at WD Hall, and one day we were really missing school, and we thought, what would we be doing? And we thought, oh, we were doing broadcast. And then we got sad that we weren't doing it, and we were talking with our dad, and he questioned, well, why can't you just do a broadcast from home? And we thought that was an amazing idea. So we contacted our friends. We made a little studio. And that's how it all started.
Bristol, does that sound like the real story? Or was it really just your idea?
No.
No. Okay. Did you jump in, though, at the same time? Was it Berlin saying, hey, we got to do this together? Did she recruit you to do this? Or when you heard about the idea, you said, yes, we must do that?
Yes. Bristol called McKenna and her friends, and then me and my mom started writing script and doing the studio. But she got all of her friends to do it with us.
So Bristol, you're the recruiter then, it sounds like. You're the one who finds the talent. Why McKenna? Because McKenna does weather and science, from what I can tell. So how did you know that McKenna would be right for weather and science? Or was it her idea?
Both of the McKennas, we just tell them, okay, they just think of their own ideas and then they send them in and we put them in the script.
And they're also on broadcast and they're amazing on that. So we were like, well, we should have broadcast people in it. So we have different broadcast members, but most of the time we have the two McKennas.
So, so tell me about this thing called broadcast at your school, because it seems to me that without this, will you call it a class or extracurricular activity at school, you may not have been equipped to start your own YouTube channel. So tell me about who gets to participate in broadcast at school. What have you learned there at doing broadcast? And who helps you at school?
It's a club, and Mr. Brandon and Mrs. Albright help us, and they really wanted to make sure that we knew how to do everything on our own. So they taught us how to edit, they taught us how to video our own YouTube video, and how to upload it. So thank you so much for doing that. And now we're able to do this. So we took the same format and then put it into what's going on right now.
And does a broadcast happen every day at school? How long has it been happening? Is this something that students expect? Is it morning announcements? How does broadcast happen at your schools? And is it happening at your middle school and at your elementary school?
We do them at both schools, and we just film it. We normally film it on Wednesday, and then it goes up on Monday.
Now, I want to learn more about the green screen technology, because you seem to have that down. I really like the green screen backgrounds that you use. Tell me, you don't have green screens?
No.
We
buy a new one.
Yeah. This one, we got different supplies, and then we got yarn, and then we put everything into it. And so we get different things, but we only have one actual backdrop. The rest of them we make ourselves with stuff at the store.
Wow. Well, and that's not surprising, because unless your RISEC themes have changed, Berlin, artistic was one of your first themes.
Yes.
So, and I want to get into that a little bit. And I want to know if Bristol's had the opportunity to explore her RISEC themes as well. But one piece that I think is really interesting is that you're actually going out and you're engaging with local businesses. Tell us about the experience working with local businesses, and where did that idea come from?
Well, we wanted to help small businesses during this time, because right now it can be really hard for them. And so we like to go out, do a video, and put it on our broadcast, so then hopefully they can get some more customers, because that is very helpful during this time.
And what advice would you have for students who want to go out maybe in other districts and kind of follow your lead? What advice would you have for them as it relates to talking to business owners and engaging with business owners? Because that's not something that I think a lot of elementary or middle school students are typically thinking about. So first of all, huge kudos to you for being willing to go out and do that. But what advice would you have for students, and kind of what have you learned about that, developing a relationship with a business owner and partnering with them?
Many businesses have helped fundraise our schools. And so we wanted to help them, because they've helped us so many times. And so that's why we've been teaming up with multiple places.
Well, I think it's a tremendous example that you're setting for other students, and really for the relationship that businesses can have with schools and that schools can have with businesses. So tell us more about the broadcast. How long does it take to prepare an episode, and how often are they airing? And are you preparing to continue to do this throughout the school year? What can we expect from East County Kids News?
It takes us like 15 to 45 minutes, because we have to write the script, then we have to come in here and video it, and then we have to edit. So that takes another like 15 minutes.
And we post videos every Monday and Friday.
Okay, every Monday and Friday. And folks can subscribe just like a typical YouTube channel, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And they just search for East County Kids News on a YouTube channel. Are there any other outlets where it can be found? I've heard about Facebook as well, that maybe you push out on Facebook. Is that true?
We put stuff on our Instagram, and I put some stuff on Twitter, and my mom helps video us. And so sometimes on East County Kids News on our Instagram account, we'll do short clips of fun activities, and then my mom will help us and we'll post that up onto Instagram.
That's fantastic. I mean, really, it's a whole process of learning, and to be able to move something from an idea to actually out on YouTube and other people are watching it. Do you get nervous before you push that button to send it out to the world? You know, tell me about the feedback that you received.
Yes.
You get nervous, right? Tell me about the feedback that you received. Obviously, we're on Channel 10. What was that experience like? But what kind of feedback are you getting from the community?
We've had so much support, and we never thought that it would get this big. At first, we were just doing it as a fun activity, and so we could be doing what we love. And then when our first video hit 500 in like 2 to 3 days, we were like blown away. We never thought it would get this big. And then when Channel 10 News contacted us, we were so blown away, and we were so excited.
What were they like? Did they ask tough questions, the Channel 10 News folks?
Yeah.
Did they?
Kind of, but kind of, no.
Miss Keffer actually was the one who sent our channel in, and it's crazy because she never even had us in her class, but she's so supportive and amazing that she sent our channel in, and then they contacted us, and it was crazy.
Well, congratulations for that exposure, and really it's a recognition for a job well done. Again, you took an idea and you moved it to a form that people are interested in and want to see. And I think back to the roots and the beginnings, and a lot of the thanks goes to those teachers that you've already mentioned, who have really put that time and effort into supporting your learning. Of course, Mr. Sullivan as well from our IT department. And, you know, he's our audio engineer here as part of the podcast. So can't thank him enough. Before we end kind of talking about East County Kids News, are there any businesses that you want to plug now on the podcast that, you know, if you're hearing this, you know, who do you want to plug? What businesses do you want to talk about?
You should definitely go to Janet's in Alpine or Santee. They're amazing, and they've helped our school so much, and they're so helpful.
And what is Janet's? Tell us about Janet's for those who aren't aware.
They have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and they have amazing food.
Yes.
And we actually went there like 3 times last week.
Okay.
It was good, though.
Okay. Well, it looks like we have to check out Janet's then in Alpine. Okay. We're definitely going to check that out. So if you're listening to the podcast, make sure that you check out Janet. So thanks for plugging at least that one local business. So I want to move to kind of this third piece of our conversation, because I think it was about a year ago, Berlin, that you spoke to about 400 folks at the San Diego Workforce Partnerships Opportunity Summit. Do you remember that experience? And
yes.
Do you remember what you shared?
It was amazing. I got to talk about RISEC and the World of Words program. And it was a little overwhelming because there was a lot of people, but it was so rewarding and amazing experience.
So it was definitely an honor to kind of watch you share that, your TED Talk, how the RISEC changed my life. And I went back and watched your TED Talk, and there were some elements that I didn't remember. Like, for example, that your themes are artistic and social, and you are very interested in dance, and you'd always thought that maybe you were going to be a dance instructor. But after taking the RISEC, you became interested in broadcast journalism and perhaps being a broadcaster. And then on your, I think it's your fifth grade trip to BizTown, you actually applied for the role of broadcaster, I think for Channel 7 it was at the time.
Fourth grade, I did Channel 7 News. And then in fifth grade, I was the mayor.
But fifth grade, you were the mayor.
So much when I was doing the broadcast news. And so ever since then, I've always wanted to be a news reporter. And so this broadcast is definitely what I love. And so I always love to film.
So I think that's incredible that you've had those experiences, that the RISEC aligned to that experience, that you made a selection, a choice around participating in BizTown in a career simulation that aligned to your interests. And now you're doing this work. You know, you've started your own channel with your sister, and it's all connected. You know, what has changed as it relates to your thinking around the RISEC and this process and your exposure to the world of work? And then I want to learn more about Bristol and see what kind of exposure she's had, because I think a lot of listeners that will tune in are interested in this aspect of the world of work and the exposure that students are receiving. But mostly, what's the impact? What's happening? And how does this help you with your thought process around your future interests? So what has changed about your thinking as it relates to the RISEC?
Well, because I was in broadcast last year and I absolutely loved it, I continued doing research this year, and now I'm starting to dive more into it. And it's been really cool to learn more and be exposed to new careers. And me and my sister both love the program.
Do you think that the RISEC, do you still see it now? You had the RISEC exposure and the World of Work exposure for 2 years. Now you're in your third year of potentially having exposure to it. What do you see as the value of it now that you're getting older and you're getting more exposure to things? What do you see as the value of doing this starting in the earlier grades? Because that's oftentimes where people start to question this work. Why are we doing this for students in the early grades? Do you still see the value? And if so, what is the value in doing it?
I think there's a huge value because when my brothers were growing up, they were never introduced to RISEC because once it started, they were already in high school. And so they didn't know what they were going to be until my brother's a junior and he didn't figure out what he wanted to be until this year. And so I think it has a huge impact when we learn about different careers earlier on, because then we have more exposure and we're not just hearing about the jobs that are normally heard about, like a teacher and jobs like that. And we're actually thinking outside of the box of multiple careers, and we have a bigger selection of jobs.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense based on the research and the things that we've often been advising other districts about, and the value of starting early is exactly what you just shared. And so Bristol, I'm wondering about your experiences, because we've never talked about your RISEC themes, and you're looking up to your big sister. Have you had a chance to talk to her about your interests and how they align to the RISEC, and what are you learning about it now in the fourth grade?
Well, we sometimes get to have people come to our school. We get to they are on a different app or something, and we can see them in like Taylor Guitar, or sometimes people learn about baking or a farmer. It's really cool because they let us ask questions and we get to dive in and they tell us about their jobs. And so it's not just us hearing, oh, there's a farmer, you can be this job. They're actually saying what they do and the impacts, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I think what you're referring to are the Meet a Pro experiences, where the professionals can come into your classroom virtually using Zoom. How ironic, right? That the pros are coming into your classroom virtually using Zoom. And then you have the opportunity to ask questions of those professionals. Mm-hmm. Would you imagine that in our school district, just over the last couple of years, students have been able to achieve more than 70,000 views of live industry chats? We're one of the few districts in the United States that's accomplished that incredible accomplishment. And so how important is it for young people at your age to get to meet professionals? And do you think it's effective to meet professionals virtually using Zoom? Because you do think
it's very effective, because we not only have Zoom, there's also when they come in. For example, last year a news reporter came to our school and we were able to talk to him. He told us about his job and it gave me more of an insight, and they told us more jobs and like things that we didn't know when we were researching about it.
Yeah, I think that's the best case scenario. Whenever we can have professionals come to our classrooms live, that's the best that we can bring to our classrooms. Second is those Zoom opportunities. So at least we can get someone to come in virtually. I have this other idea too, and I'm just wondering what you think about it, but it seems to me that we could leverage our parents a little bit more, our families. I think we have some of the most amazing parents and families. What do you think if we try to recruit more, just like Bristol, just like you were recruiting the McKennas, what if we try to recruit more parents to come in via Zoom to share their stories with our classrooms? Do you think we could do a better job of that? And what ideas might you have for helping us be more successful at recruiting parents to come to the classroom virtually? What do you think?
You could probably send out like an email or something.
Yeah, we could send an email. Absolutely. We're definitely going to do that, but only if you co-author it with us, because it sounds like you're a very successful recruiter. So we need to use some of your recruiting magic. You know, I used to be a recruiter a long time ago, I used to recruit people for a living. That was my job. I got paid to do that. I used to go find talent. So when I saw you, when I heard that you found the McKennas, instantly I thought, Bristol might be a really great recruiter one day. So
I think great. And then we have more people than having to reach out to businesses, because if there's parent, if we also reach out to parents in the district, they might be able to respond and come in. For example, my mom is a substitute, and I know many people that have like parents that who are teachers and other jobs, and they could. And I also know someone that is a cosmetologist, and then we have a better chance of having them come in and they could talk to us, and it would be really cool.
Well, I think you're energizing me as I think about our work and some ideas that we have about leveraging our parents even further. So thank you for chatting it up around that topic with me. I really appreciate it. So next week is going to be your second week of distance learning. And what are you looking forward to as you head back to your second week of distance learning? What do you have coming this week that you're excited about, that you're looking forward to?
I liked that we have all subjects, and it was really cool because it was like you're actually at school, and they even had like a fun art project. So we had coloring and different things. So it was like you're actually at school. We are just digitally. So I was really excited when I found that out.
Well, that sounds like an amazing end of the week. And I'm sure there's going to be lots of incredible things planned for next week. I want to say to both of you, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the Cone Valley podcast, really to hear about your first week of distance learning, the impact that your teachers are having on your learning, to hear about the importance of having technology in your Chromebooks and all these amazing, beautiful apps that are allowing you to have choice in the classroom, and then how you've used this time that you've had away from school to start East County Kids News on YouTube. Please subscribe. All listeners, please go and subscribe on YouTube to this amazing podcast. And then finally, to hear about how the world of work has impacted you, learning about the RIASEC and that it continues to be important in your life and as you're thinking about your future. It's really great to hear all of those stories coming together. And it's just been fantastic to host you today. I think a lot of listeners will really appreciate hearing your words. Yeah, it's been great to have you on. Thank you so much. And we look forward. Yep. So. It's okay. It's okay. Brandon, you got to keep that in because, of course, that's a real podcast, right? So if you're listening today and you have the opportunity, make sure that you go to East County Kids News on YouTube and make sure you subscribe. And if you want to hear more of our podcasts at the Cone Valley Podcast, please go ahead and sign up wherever it is that you get your favorite podcasts. In the coming weeks, we look forward to hearing some amazing stories for some of the folks from our district who are doing some of the incredible work keeping our schools going during this time of the COVID crisis. We hope all of you out there are staying safe, healthy, and we look forward to seeing you on our podcast again in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
So for those of you listening in today, if you want to learn more about the Cajon Valley Union School District, please visit our website at cajonvalley.net. And if you want to learn more about the World of Work Initiative, visit our website, worldofwork.net. Thank you.
This podcast was recorded and edited by Brandon Sullivan. Our music was written and performed by Amanda King, Nick Matthews, and Brandon Sullivan. You can keep in touch with us by emailing us at podcast@cajonvalley.net. And we would also like to take this opportunity to thank all of the staff, teachers, students, and community partners of the Cajon Valley Union School District for their support of our mission and without whose efforts this podcast would not be possible. Thank you.